indeed what a Savior we do have. We pray to God and He answers our prayers. It's a beautiful thing to be a child of God. I am so grateful to God for saving my soul. I can never thank my Lord enough, no matter how hard I try. And Ephesians 2, verse 12, says, "At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope," none, not a bit, no hope, "and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus," no other way, nothing else possible, no other solutions. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers, nor foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God." Remember that, fellow citizens, "in whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Everything you need to know. Everything you need to know about salvation, God gives it to us right here. Everything you need to know about Christianity is right here. Everything you need to know about how God operates with His children is right here. We're going to learn every bit of this as we slowly drift through here. I don't care if we go verse by verse or word by word. We're going to study this because this is powerful stuff. We are no longer strangers and foreigners. We are fellow citizens. And that's who we are. We are the children of God. It don't matter who we are in this world. It don't matter what we are in this world. Far too many years have passed where Christians, I'm talking about Christians, have separated themselves because of nonsense. We've separated ourselves over nationalities, race, many other things. I've never seen the light of me at the amount of brethren in this world that looks for more ways to be angry with their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ than they do looking for ways to unite ourselves. How God must look upon us over the years for the Scriptures to have been abused the way they have by a lot of men, especially a lot of Baptist men. I remember back when people used to talk how we should separate ourselves. Well, Christians should never separate themselves for anything. Nothing should separate us. I've learned that over the years. I used to think like some of them. But I have learned over the years, especially the way me, my family, my wife has been treated by some Christians in churches. Thank God for you that you do not treat us that way and never have and never will. We got down to our third point. Our first point was the Jews and Jesus Christ. The Jews hated Jesus. But you know what? Some of them loved Jesus. Remember Nicodemus? Remember how dumb he looks in the scriptures? And he was such an intelligent man. A ruler of the Jews he was. And Jesus talked to him about being born again. It made him look like he didn't know anything, didn't it? Because he didn't. See, people don't know. We're not born with the natural instinct of God. Many people have grown in life to not even never know God. Isn't that something? They don't understand him. A lot of people believe in Allah, Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius. They grew up this way. All the other gods out there that are dead in the grave are made from fictitious characters. Fiction characters, I guess I should call it. They don't even exist. I remember poor John Denver, before he died, believed that God was nature. He loved nature. So he just chose that God was nature. Well, he knows better than that now, doesn't he? Sad. Good singer. Good person. He just, God never showed himself to him. If God doesn't reveal it to you, you will never know. But once he does, you become a child of God in every way. It is your responsibility in life to study, to show yourself approved unto God. It is your responsibility in life to learn the scriptures and not to bind yourself to the theology of man, but the theology of the Bible. I understand that, you know, pastors in the past here have been great men. But they're not infallible. Neither am I. We're all wrong on something. We're all in error about something. No man outside of Christ knows everything. Thank God for what we do know. This we do know. That Jesus Christ died on the cross. Was buried, rose again on the third day, shed his blood. And I believe God took that blood and put it on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies in heaven, and it is that mercy seat that God continually forgives our trespasses, because our trespasses are given by the blood of Jesus Christ. Third, the promises of God are to those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. He says in verse 12, and strangers from the covenant of promise. Strangers from the covenant of promise. He said aliens from the commonwealth of Israel before he said that. And now he says strangers from the covenant of promise. Go to Romans 9, if you will. Another beautiful chapter in Scripture if you're a sovereign grace person. But who are the children of Israel? Paul asked this question. Isn't it strange that Paul asked this very question? Who is Israel? He says in verse 4 of Romans chapter 9, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant? And the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth to adoption? Who is part of adoption? I am. You are too if you're a child of God today. You are adopted into the family of the Most High God. He goes on. Whose are the fathers? Listen. And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. He came as an Israelite, didn't he? Came as a Jew, didn't he? It amazes me. You get all these pictures of Christ out there. I mean, we always get the white ones, don't we? He's had red hair, he's had blonde hair, he's had brown hair, he's had black hair, he's been black, he's been Hispanic, he's been Chinese. He was a Jew. He was a Jew. So you had to go back to the custom of Jewish kids back then to see what Christ would have looked like. That's who he was. He wasn't anything extraordinary looking. He was a normal child growing up as far as his appearance. He wasn't normal, don't get me wrong. He was a normal kid, but he was a normal child growing up. In other words, he grew up like every other child, minus the sin and the errors in life. But he was a Jew. God bless forever. Amen. He goes on in the next verse, I guess that's verse 7. Not as though the word of God was taken to none effect. Listen, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Isn't that weird? They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they the children, are they all children? Listen, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, listen, they which are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. It don't matter who you are in this life. All that matters is what God hath made you in this life. You've not made yourself anything. No preacher, no teacher, no missionary, no church, no believer in Christ has made themselves anything. God has made them what they are. God hath given them everything they have, every tool they need. And while he has blessed some more than others, he's blessed us all, hasn't he? If you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are blessed above and beyond most, the vast majority of people on this earth, just in that. And you know that how? The Spirit of God had revealed it to you, had he not? Making you God's dear child. Making you a part of the seed. Election. Love. Grace. Mercy. Salvation. Eternal life. Being a child of God. All of these are not to the nation of Israel, but to all who are spiritual Israel. All who have been saved and brought into the fold. Set together to be one in Christ Jesus. We're not different. Saved people are not different. We are the same. The Lord took the brilliant people in the world and made them dumb to teach them another way. The Lord took the weak things in the world and made them brilliant in mind and study. God did it, not us. All of these things, God does not leave all of fleshly Israel, he does not leave all of fleshly Israel, but also us who are engrafted into Abraham, Romans chapter 11. The Bible never says God loves all of Israel. God chose Israel to be his nation. He chose to make them his little S-O-N. With Jesus being the big S-O-N. We as Gentiles can celebrate the promises of God to Abraham and to Israel, because them promises are to us too. People sometimes want to look at the Old Testament like it doesn't mean anything to us. Well, it does. It's God's word. Whatever God said to Israel, he means for us. The Ten Commandments never have been a saving tool. Even in the Old Testament, they weren't part of salvation. The Ten Commandments weren't given to Israel. They were given to all of us through Israel. Things flowed through Israel to us. The blessings of God. Thank God our Savior came through Israel, God's chosen nation. The blessings flowed through them to us. I'll not discount them. They are God's people. He chose them. God's nation, he chose them. And everyone that he elected will be saved. That's the way God does it. That's what he chose to do. We're going back to our text, then we're going to Titus 1. For our fourth point. Being alienated from is to be lost and without Jesus Christ. Without any promises, without any hope on the other side of our fleshly life. He says in verse 12, having no hope. That's sad, isn't it? We praise God every day, or should, that we have hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. We just sung songs about him. We just sung two songs back to back about the blood of Jesus. Because that's where our hope is, folks. It's not in anything else. It's not in anything in this world. It's in Jesus. The man who sits right on the right hand of God. He's the one that gave his life. And if people don't understand that in their hearts, they have no hope. None. Think about it. I mean, we actually believe a doctrine, rightly so, I teach it, that God saves sinners. If God don't save them, they'll never be saved. The problem is that people on their own can't be saved. Think about that. Give us a thought. They can't be saved. If God doesn't save a soul, that soul will never be saved. You can pray for them all you want. You can witness to them all you want. You can get them to sleep with the Bible under the pillow turned over to John or any other salvation scripture in the Bible. And it's not going to help them. The Lord says they don't retain his knowledge about them. And they don't want to. People that are lost without Christ, they have no hope. This hope is not fleshly hope, but rather spiritual hope. People hope in this world. I hope the Texas Longhorns win the national championship next year. But we're talking about a different kind of hope, aren't we? A dead person has no hope, do they? They're already dead. Once a soul dies, they're immediately, I believe, immediately with the Lord or in hell. There's no more hope for them. None. If they died without Christ, they never had no hope. Everything's real once you die. Everything's final once you die. Today is the day of salvation to everyone who's going to believe. This hope is in Christ Jesus and only in Him. People put hope in themselves. What do you think works is? Works is putting hope in yourself, isn't it? Think about it. You're hoping you live good enough to get to heaven. I mean, don't think about how ridiculous it is. People actually do believe this. You hope the preacher done a good enough job at baptizing you. You hope in a lot of things in this world because that's all the hope you have. But thank God, through the work and power of the Spirit of God, and through the sacrifice and blood of Jesus, we have real hope. We have hope in the Savior. We have hope of eternal life. In Titus chapter 1 verse 2, he says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, your God will never lie to you. He said, Jesus will return. I guarantee you one day Jesus will return. When the people least suspect it, Jesus is coming back. That cannot lie, God cannot lie. Listen, promised. When, Lord? When did you promise? Before the world began. Our God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. I'm sorry, but I'm lost here. What existed before the world? Well, we don't know when heaven was created. Could have been before the world. Assume it was before the world. Because the Lord never put a date on anything. All we know is God created the world about 6,000 years ago. Best we can calculate. But before that, God promised. Who? Jesus. The Father promised the Son, didn't he, in the eternal covenant. He promised him that if he would come to this world and sacrifice his life and to be buried and rise again and to spill his blood on Calvary, that he would save us and count that as sufficient payment. Isn't that beautiful? Before the world began. Giving us hope of eternal life. Promised before the foundation of the world. Now verse 3 says, but hath in due time, that is an ordained, preordained, predestinated time, manifested, that is revealed, his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandments of God my Savior, or our Savior. That's our hope. Our hope is in the promise of God before the foundation of the world. No matter who we are, if we are saved this day, God has before the foundation of the world promised us salvation by electing us, calling us his own. That's our hope. We trust in Jehovah God and Yahweh who cannot lie. Before the foundation of the world, he promised to give us hope in Christ Jesus. And we have that hope. Lost people, they don't have any hope. None. Think about it, folks. It saddens me to think about it, doesn't it? I mean, the Jews And the early church, the Jews in Jerusalem, could not have had a worse enemy in this world than Saul of Tarsus. And God saved him. And you go back and you study Acts and other scriptures where the Apostle Paul came amongst them in their congregation and scared them. For who he was. But when God changed him, he wasn't that person anymore, was he? Paul was Saul of Tarsus, ever how you want to look at him, was given this promise in Christ before the foundation of the world, just like we were. No matter who he was, God doesn't make a rule of saving people like Saul of Tarsus. But he does. You never know who God's going to save, who he's not going to save. Colossians chapter 1. Lost people have no hope. I thank God I do. And I thank God it wasn't given to me by man. That hope was given to me by my Father in heaven. And he gave it to me for the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus and to Christ Jesus. So what kind of hope do earthly people or lost people have? It's not the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. You know what they help? They help in this world. They hope for money. They hope for better jobs. Like the Jews. They hope for better wives, better looking wives. They hope to win the lottery. They hope for a lot of things in this world, but it's only in this world that they have hope. That's sad, isn't it? For us who know much more than that, that's very sad. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith, Paul writes, in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, what have you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel? That's the hope. The hope that's laid up in heaven for you. And that hope is in the word of truth, and it's called the gospel of Christ. The gospel that's been put into our hands to carry to the next generation, to make sure it doesn't get molested, to make sure it doesn't get contaminated, but that we hand it off to the next generation, no matter how big or small they may be, and if there is a next one, they will be smaller, but to hand it off to them so that they can also carry the gospel to the next generation. And the next generation, as it's been carried down through the centuries to us. This is the hope which was laid up for you in heaven. And that hope is the gospel of Christ. How that he died, was buried, rose again on the third day, and ascended up to sit on the right hand of the Father on high. It's good to have hope. I thank God I have it. I know you do too. I praise God for it every day. It's such a blessing to me. I do wish I could do something to save sinners. But the only thing I can do is tell them about Christ. And they don't want to hear it. They don't care. Unless the Holy Spirit convicts their hearts, you might well be preaching that door right there. That'd be preaching to them. But we're not to preach to that door, are we? We're to preach to the world, aren't we? We're to carry that gospel to the world. And make sure they keep hearing, keep hearing, keep hearing, keep hearing. And hopefully one day they will really hear. Not only are they without hope, they are without God in this world. May alive. I'd hate to wake up any day without God. I'd hate to wake up without Christ, without the church, without the things that God has put into my heart, caused me to understand and believe. I'd hate to wake up one morning without Christ or without hope, without God. Paul told us what we were. That's what we were. We were without hope. And in this world, we were without God. But not no more. Because of the grace of God. Because of the mercy of God. Because of the love of God. We wake up every day and go to bed every night with hope, with the Savior, with salvation, with redemption, with cleanness, and knowing that our Father, He's not just our God, He's our Father. And we belong to Him. That's a beautiful thing. I don't care how you look at it. I know it is because He's my Father. I don't care what people may say, think, or do. All I care is that I'm a child of God. That's all that matters to me in life. A lot matters, but I'm just saying, when it comes to that, that's all that matters to me is I'm a child of God in this world. That's all that matters to me in this world is that I am a child of God. I know this world is going to turn the way God turns it. Things are going to happen the way God wants them to happen. I pray for them. I do. I have family in this world and I pray for them. I don't like things that's happening. I don't like abortion. To me, it's murder. And I certainly am not going to like it when they start killing children outside the womb, which, if we do not know, it's already happened. I know it has because I've been told it has. It's pretty well known, if you pay attention, that babies have died for the lack of help outside of the womb. Sad, isn't it? One day, Lord said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But there's no sin that is not forgivable by the blood of Jesus, except the sin of unbelief. The unforgivable sin is the sin of unbelief. It'll never be forgiven. All other sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's all our message tonight. I hope you enjoyed that.